didn't occur to me till we were singing here that song tonight that it would have been appropriate to preach on Jesus cry from the cross, "I thirst." He thirsted that we might never thirst. But we're going to think on this word that he gave from the cross when he said, "It is finished." I believe I referred the other night, maybe several times, to this being the last statement Jesus made from the cross. It's the last one recorded in John, Luke's gospel. We're told that he said, "Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Exactly which one was last, I'm not sure. I don't know that it's real important. But we want to look at this brief statement here in John 19, verse 30. And Jesus said, "It is finished." It's three short words in our English language, only 12 letters when you put them all together. It's even more brief in the Greek. It's one word, phototestai. Greek, we're told, is a very precise and concise language. The ancient Greek orators prided themselves in being able to say much with little. It was said that they could say a sea of matter with a drop of language. And I submit that never was more said with less words than when Jesus said, "Telestai." Telestai is a victor's cry. It was a cry of trumpet, triumph and victory. It was not a cry of defeat. As Brother George pointed out, he said, "It is finished," not "I am finished." When he said, "I thirst," he was speaking of his person. When he said, "It is finished," he was speaking of his work. Telestai is not the despairing cry of a martyr, is not the last gasp of a worn-out life. It was the declaration of the Son of God that what he had come to do was done. That the character of God had been fully displayed, fully been revealed in human terms, as much as it could be. That what God required so that we sinners could be saved had been performed. That the great debt of our redemption had been paid. Jesus, on the cross there, was not overcome by what he experienced. He was there overcoming. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That was a cry of desolation. When he cried out, "I thirst," it was a cry of lamentation. But when he said, "Telestai," it was a cry of jubilation. He had won. It was over. He had finished it. The cross of Christ has two sides. On the one hand, we see the great humiliation that Jesus endured. What Jesus suffered in his soul and his body as he approached the cross, and as he hung there for hours, defy description. The Apostle Paul, in lifting up Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice of humble obedience, says that Jesus became obedient unto death. And he said, even the death of the cross. No one ever came from higher and went lower than Jesus did when he went to the cross. On the other hand, the cross stands for what Jesus came into the world to do. It represents the culmination of his mission in life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem them that were under the law. He came to take away the sin of the world and bear that sin in his own body. What Jesus did on the cross is the basis of our salvation. And because of what he did on the cross, we can have the assurance of sin forgiven. We can't fully explain all that is contained in this short statement, Telestai, but when Jesus uttered it from the cross, we notice three things about it. First of all, it was a familiar word. It was not a word from some heavenly language. When Jesus came to earth, he didn't come speaking something that no one could figure out or understand, that they just would recognize that he was a holy man, but if we could only knew what he was teaching. No, he came, he used familiar words, he used common words, he didn't use high language. The children, everyone could understand what he had to say. Jesus was the best at taking the common, ordinary, everyday things of life and using them to explain spiritual truth. This he did, for example, when he took some water in a basin and washed his disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel. He taught a lesson, a great lesson, and we're still learning spiritual truths from it. He did it when he took some bread and he broke it. He said, "Now this bread represents my body. It'll be broken for you." And all the lessons in that example are just amazing. He did it when he took a cup. He had the fruit of the vine. And he said, "Now this represents my blood, which is shed for you." He did it in many, many ways. This was a familiar word that he used here on the cross. It was, for example, a word that servants used. People were used to hearing this word every day. It wasn't an unusual word that caught their attention, but it was a familiar word. When a servant was assigned a task, go chop wood for a week, go sweep the floor, go carry water, when the task was done, they would come back and say, "Telestai, I did it. It's finished. It's all done." Jesus, when he prayed there, before he even went to the cross in John 17, he was praying to God the Father, and he said, "I have finished the work that you gave me to do." That's quite a statement, considering what he had come to do and his relatively young age. I don't know about you, but I have some unfinished things at home. Some books that I started that I never finished. Some projects that were started, never finished. As a matter of fact, I guess I am one of them that's described in those personality books as a great starter but a slow finisher. I don't know if I have any company here tonight or not. But Jesus said, "I finished the work you gave me to do." You know, it's possible for us to live long in life and yet accomplish nothing of real significance. We may gain great success financially, hold an important job, maybe even run a business, fill a public office, acquire several degrees we can list behind our name. But the important thing is, will we be able to say, "I finished the work that you gave me to do"? Jesus was able to say that. Telestai is a word that servants used often. Telestai was also a word that priests used. One responsibility of priests was to check the animals and examine them before they were used as sacrifice. No animal that had any blemish at all of any kind was to be used as a sacrifice. And the priest would examine it and check it all over. And if it was acceptable, he would say, "Well, Telestai, it's perfect. It's acceptable. It can be used." Certainly, Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God. He was acceptable. He was perfect. God spoke his approval of Jesus different times. He spoke it when Jesus was baptized by John. He spoke it again on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he was baptized there, the Spirit of God descended on him in the bodily form of a dove and rested on him, demonstrating just how completely perfect he was. As he ministered on earth, even demons recognized that he was the Son of God. Can you imagine those who walked with him and listened to him and traveled with him and slept with him and ate with him all those years? Never once heard him say anything or use a tone of voice that was out of order. Never saw him once do anything that should not have been done. That's amazing. Never once would have had for any reason to go back to anyone for anything. Say, I'm sorry. That is amazing. He was the perfect sacrifice. Even his enemies, when it came right down to it, hired to hire liars to testify against him. And they couldn't get it right. Even their testimony didn't agree. Pilate, he examined him and he was done. He said, I find no fault in him. He was perfect. He was complete. He was spotless. He was the acceptable sacrifice. Telestiai was a word the priests used. We're talking about this being a common word. It was also a word that artists used. When an artist would finish a painting or a drawing, they could step back and say, Telestiai, it's all done, it's complete. When a author would finish a poem or a story or something, he could say, Telestiai, it's done, it's finished. When a composer would write a melody, compose a tune, when he had it the way he wanted it, he'd say, Telestiai, it's finished. When a sculptor would complete a sculpture, and he is finished knocking off the last piece, he could say, Telestiai, it's all done. All the details in a skillfully painted picture cannot be absorbed real quickly. Just this week, we were in a home, and as we were about to leave, I noticed a picture on the wall. It was obvious in that home that we're in the home of a hunter. And there was a picture on the wall there of some Indians crouching in hiding positions with weapons aimed at some deer that were running toward them. And I stopped to look at the picture a little longer, and up in the woods farther, I noticed there were some other Indians. Didn't notice them right away. It was certainly not the focus of the picture, but they were there. They were unarmed, and it was obvious that they were driving the deer. And I looked a little bit more, and there was another deer over here. But I saw the back of that deer, and it was headed away. It had gotten through. It was on its way. And I'm sure if I'd have stood there longer and looked for more, there was more there to see. There's more detail. Some people go in to some of these art galleries and will stand for hours looking at pictures. The beauty and the sweet melody of a great tune is not all appreciated in one hearing. Eternity will not be too long for us and our souls to soak in all the sweetness of what was accomplished when Jesus took our penalty for the sin of each of us there on the cross. But he is the completed picture. In him, all the fulfillment of the many types of the Old Testament come together. In him, we see the fulfillment of prophecy. In him, symbols have meaning. In him, ceremonies of the Old Testament are given their full significance. Telestiai. It was a word that artists used. It was also a word that merchants or bankers or businessmen used. Then, as now, some things were bought and paid for incrementally. And as each payment was made, the date would be recorded, the amount paid would be listed, the new balance would be there, and when the next month or week or whatever came around, the date was again listed, the amount paid was given, the new balance was there, and when it was all done, the banker or the merchant or the businessman would write, Celestia, it's done, it's finished, it's paid, it's all taken care of. You know, we had a debt we could never pay. We could pay from now to eternity. We'll never see that blessed word at the bottom. But Jesus paid it. And he said, Celestiae, it's finished. It's paid. It's all taken care of. It makes me think of that song that we sing sometimes that has these words. When I stand before the throne, I'll stand in him complete. Jesus died, my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Celestiae, it's finished. It's paid in full. It always will be paid. God is satisfied. It's a word that merchants used. Not only was it a familiar word, it was a word that came from the lips of a faithful Savior. It was a familiar word coming from the lips of a faithful Savior. Jesus came to earth with a big assignment. His assignment was to provide salvation for all. His atonement was enough to cover the sin of all mankind for all time. It had to be more than enough. Now, not everyone's going to take advantage of it, but it's adequate. That's what he came to do. He lived his life, as it were, under the shadow of the cross. One artist painted a picture of the boy Jesus standing with his arms spread against the doorposts in Joseph's carpenter shop. And the shadow that was cast on the wall behind him was in the form of a cross. Already at the age of 12, we hear him saying to those people in the temple there, I must be about my Father's business. It seems as though already at the age of 12, he was beginning to understand, maybe had a full understanding, I don't know. But he had come for a purpose. In John 2, we read of the first miracle that Jesus performed. It was at a wedding. It was at a time when there was joy and laughter and rejoicing and celebrating. But you remember, the wine ran out. Now, Mary knew who Jesus was. She knew he was no ordinary boy. And she said to the servants, this guy can take care of it. You do what he says. He said, woman, what have I to do with you? My time is not yet come. He met their need, but it seems as though the cross was already on his mind. The next chapter of John tells us about Jesus' night meeting there with Nicodemus. And one thing he told Nicodemus was, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The cross was on his mind. In John 4, we hear him telling his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The work he had come to do, the cross, was on his mind. Later in time, James and John came to him looking for special places in the kingdom. And he let them know that sorrow and suffering come before rewards. That was going to be true for him. He said, it's going to be true for you as well. Suffering would come first. The topic, even on the Mount of Transfiguration there with Moses and Elijah, the topic of the conversation was Jesus' coming death at Jerusalem. The cross was never far from his mind. You and I don't know what the future holds. It's a good thing we don't. But if you and I just knew this much, that sometime in the next 3 years, we would die a violent death. Just that knowledge itself might be enough to drive us insane. But Jesus went through his ministry knowing what he had come to do. He knew that he was here to pay the penalty of sin and what that would require. And yet we're told that he always did what pleased his Father. Jesus, we're told, was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But at the end of his pilgrimage, he could say, I've finished the work that I was given to do. And you know, if the Son of God says that what he came to do was finished, we can be confident that it was finished, that it doesn't need our help, that nothing else needs to be done. He paid it. He did it. Who are we to doubt it? We can be confident in our salvation because of who said, Telestai. It came from the lips of a faithful Savior. Finally, we notice that Telestai was a familiar word spoken by a faithful Savior about the finished work. The servant's work was done. The perfect sacrifice was offered. The picture was complete. The debt was all paid. With the receiving of the vinegar that he was offered when he cried, I thirst, every prophecy about Jesus that needed to be fulfilled before he was to die was fulfilled. And there were many of them. We can be sure that just as every prophecy about Jesus was fulfilled before he died, every prophecy that will need to be fulfilled before his second coming will be carried out as well. Jesus breathed his last there on the cross. And as he did, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Never again would a priest need to go into the holy place and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. The blood of bulls and goats didn't take away sin, but the blood of Jesus did. And after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus is our high priest. And when the priests served in the temple, they never sat down. There was no furniture provided for them to sit on. It was symbolic of the task never completed, never done. But when Jesus offered himself as the atonement for sin once for all, he sat down. The work was done. Telestai. It was a familiar word from a faithful Savior about his finished work. The question again for each of us is, what about it? Are we trying to find our own way to please God? Do we think that we are okay? That God is not angry with our sin? God loves us. He paid the price. It was a great price. He did everything that he could do. He asks us, do you believe? Will you come? The price has been paid. Again tonight, we urge you to do that if you've never done that. Let Jesus be Lord of your life. You'll never regret it. The price has been paid.